plane tickets, and so she flew home Wednesday and flew back on Thursday for her mother's birthday, 75th birthday. And so anyways, can't live with airlines, can't live without them a lot of times. I mean, I guess you can. It's going to take you longer to get there. Amen. But I'm glad that the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Proverbs chapter number 3. I have just a little thought tonight. And famous last words. I don't plan to be long-winded. But let's just put it this way. If I am, that's because something else happened. Because it ain't on this paper. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 1. My son, forget not my law. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I added verse 5 and 6 in there because they're some of my favorite verses in the Bible. But I want to talk today. Amen. From verse number 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Knock yourself out tonight. I don't have a title. Amen. That's how unprepared that I am. I didn't even get to ask Google if it had a title for me or something. Whatever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good to us? Praise God. Why don't you turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, and tell him how good the Lord has been to you today. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Good to have Miss Judy McVeigh with us tonight. So thrilled that she is here today. Praise God. And it's good to see the good saints of God here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. For two chapters, I guess if that's what we would call that, because chapters were put into our Bible many centuries, thousands of years, according to this, with Proverbs and being written back in the Old Testament. Chapters were added to our Bible much, much later after all of this had happened. But just for our sake of understanding, for two chapters, Solomon has been doing his very best to give his son Rehoboam some counsel, some wise counsel and admonition. And it was much of a heralding cry for his son, basically to not do as he had done, but to simply do as he was stating, meaning that Solomon had learned many things from the school of hard knocks. Didn't pay attention a lot of times, and I get a little bit ahead of myself, but he didn't really pay attention to his heart, but began to pay attention to his head, and did what he wanted to do, and now later on in life, he sees that he has created possibility, and at this point in time it is a monster, and he's trying to be able to get Rehoboam to consider what he is saying. And so he would say throughout chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, he said things such as, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from thy path. Hide my commandments with thee. Cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. And then he goes into the third, I guess it would be the third admonition. And he brings Solomon's, or he is attempting to bring Rehoboam's head and his heart together. For this has been the problem that Solomon has had pretty much his entire life. Therefore, a while he ruled and reigned from his heart to the place that people would look at Solomon, consider him to be the wisest man upon the face of the earth. I would venture to say, with all due respect, Solomon probably was the wisest man, but he'd done some of the most foolish things. So wisdom is not always the end answer. You've got to stay therein. But Solomon would rule from his heart, and he would even ask of God. The Lord asked him, said, "What is it that you would have me to give unto you?" And Solomon would say, "Give me wisdom and understanding that I may know how to rule your people, to lead your people." And so the Lord said, "Because that you have not asked for money, and because that you have not asked for all of these other things, then I am going to give this unto you plus." And so Solomon would rule with his heart. And from his heart. There was a time that two ladies brought one baby before him. They would say that this baby is, each lady would say, "This baby is mine." And one would say, "You know, while we were sleeping, this other lady, she rolled over on her baby and killed it. And then she put the dead baby in my bosom, and she took my baby and she put it in hers, and she is claiming." And the other lady said, "No, that is not so." And can you be imagined with the task? Can you be imagined with being tasked with that there in your first little while of being king? And Solomon somehow or another quickly would say to a servant, "Bring me a sword." Bringing him a sword, he would say, "Now take that baby and cut him in half. And give one half to one woman and give the other half to the other woman." And of course, the real mother would speak up and said, no, let the baby live. Just give the baby to this other lady." And he said, "Take this child and give it to that woman, because I have heard the heart of the real mom." Somewhere in Solomon's life, he began to let his life be directed not from his heart, but began to let it be directed from his head. And everything that he desired, he kept nothing back from him, and he would eventually would marry some few hundred wives and have a few hundred concubines and all of that. And then he would write the book of Ecclesiastes, and he would say, "Everything is folly, vexation of spirit and folly." And he began to tell us of everything that he had done. "I built houses. I planted orchards. I planted gardens. I had bands and orchestras and musicians and singers and choirs and all of those other things." And he said, "How do I profit over the man that has nothing?" He said, "I don't." He said, "Everything is vexation, vanity of spirit." Praise God. And so in this setting of scripture here tonight, he is admonishing his son to get his head in connection with his heart. And he says, "Forget not my law." There's the head. And he said, "But let thine heart keep my commandments." He puts the heart into it. And so he's saying, it's not enough to have the word in your head, but you need to establish it down within your hearts. I understand tonight that the book of Proverbs is applicable not only just for Rehoboam, but it is applicable unto us, and that we can use it and we can consider it, amen, basically a letter unto ourselves, and that we are to keep the laws of God not only in our mind, but to hide them in our heart, even as David would say in Psalms chapter 119 and 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." There was something that prompted David to get the word of God not just into his head, but down deep inside of his heart. Praise God. Amen. You know why? It's because there is this thing called humanity. And we are born with death. I'm not being morbid, but we are born with death in the future at some place and some time, because the Bible said that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We have an appointment with death. Somebody says, "All we got to do in life is just live, pay taxes, and die." You don't even have to pay taxes if you don't want to. Yeah, you could spend life in jail, but you don't have to pay them. Amen. Praise God. But we are going to die unless that the second coming of the Lord Jesus would take us before the grave. If that rapture, if that trumpet sounds, amen, then we're not going to have to see death. And so as we grow and as we get older in life, and sometimes we don't have to be very old whatsoever at all, but there is this disease that happens, and sometimes it is selective and sometimes it's not. But we tend to forget things. We forget things, and some things we do selectively, and other things we don't. And hopefully we're not selectively forgetting a lot of things, but we do. We tend to forget things, and the older that we get, the more things that we tend to forget. I was even looking through some old notes today, and I remember that as an evangelist traveling the nation. And for several years after that, I could tell you exactly where we were on basically definitely the months of where we were, the year we were there, and I could tell you a whole lot of the messages that I preached in those churches. And you could go through all of the logs of my messages and stuff, and you could pick any one of them out, and you could say, where did you preach this? And I'd be able to tell you, I preached that here, and here. Or I preached that at only this place. You know what? God just gave me that message for this one place, and I had that memory. And tonight I stand before you, and I'd have a hard time telling you what I preached this morning. No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I can remember that. But there's a lot of those messages in my documents there, and I'm thinking, now when did I preach that? But I remember Brother Boney telling me a long, long time ago. He said, I'm going to tell you how you know that you're getting old. He said, not too long ago, he said, I went to the church on a Saturday night, and I was praying on Saturday afternoon, and the Lord laid something upon my heart, and he said, man, it was good. And he said, I rushed out to my truck, got in it, ran home, got on my Bible program, opened up my Word document, and man, I went to putting it all down. I was studying, I was pulling up this commentary, and I was cutting and pasting and putting it in, and I was putting in the outline, and I was doing this and that. And he said, the hour was growing late, and he said, I got to get to bed. And so he went up with his mouse, and he clicked that red X up top, and it says, do you want to save it? And he said, oh, absolutely. He said, yes. And so it said, what file name do you want to give it? And he said, I think I'll give it this. And he typed in a name onto that, and he clicked enter, and it says, file already exists. He said, there ain't no way. And he went to where the file was, and he pulled it up, and it's almost verbatim, word for word. He said, that's when you know you're getting old. I haven't quite done that yet. We're close. Amen. And that even happened this morning. I gave it a name, and it said the file already exists. I was like, dear God. But I looked at it, the messages weren't even close, okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So we have a tendency to forget things. And even in our mind, doesn't matter what we put in our mind. I have been standing at the gas pump, and I put in a debit card in there, and it says, give me the zip code that goes with this card. And I sat there thinking to myself, hey amen, I guess my mind's name is Lucille. That song comes back to me. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. I can't think of the zip code to save my life. I just have to get in my car and leave. And you know what? That's bothersome. It really is. It's bothersome. And you know what? I've done this, and I was in my 30s the first time that really ever happened to me. I was in Red Bluff, California, trying to get gas there, and it asked me for the zip code that goes with the card, and I had no idea what my zip code was. It bothered me. So a little bit of research and a study tells you exactly some of the reasons why we tend to forget things. And one of the number one reason that we forget things is stress. When you are under an immense pressure and an immense load of stress, you tend to forget things.
not only is stress an inhibitor of forgetfulness, but lack of sleep. Lack of sleep causes you to forget things. And then the third thing that is a big additive for forgetting things is depression. I feel like I'm at not Alcoholic Anonymous, but I feel I'm at one of those meetings and I stand up and I say, yes, I am Mark, and I suffer from stress, lack of sleep, and depression. All three at the same time, many times. You'll feel better if you'd admit it too. Sit down. Yeah, we're not Catholics having confession right now, but sometimes confession is good for the soul. And did you know that the Bible teaches us that the devil has come to wear out the saints of the Most High? And you know what? There's times that you feel. I told my uncle last night. We were texting back and forth a little bit, and I told him. I said, you know what? I said, I'm just. We had been at Brother Worth's house and all this. I said, you know, tonight, right now, I'm just physically tired. And he said, I am mentally tired. I've been working on 2024 taxes, trying to get all that done with my extension and all that and stuff. And he said, that's all I've done. I said, I'd rather be physically tired than mentally tired. I'd rather be physically tired than emotionally tired. Sometimes I'm physically, emotionally, and mentally tired. But you know what? That's the enemy of your soul. These things don't just happen. Amen. And I understand that physical things a lot of times are because of us, that we work physical jobs or do physical things and we become physically tired. But don't ever think that the enemy is not involved in this somewhere when you are mentally and emotionally tired. Amen. And you're suffering from these things and all the pressures of life that are upon you. And you feel absolutely stressed out. And you feel like at any moment you see that tightrope and it's beginning to fray and fray. And popping this, you think, my God, any second now, amen, it's over and I'm done for. Amen. I've been there. You've been there at times. I have told myself, I am so afraid that I am getting ready to have a complete nervous breakdown. And thank God that was really only one time in my life. But you understand that it does not matter, amen, what happens in life. The enemy is set to try to overcome you any way that he possibly can. And sometimes it's just by pressure and stress that is upon you that you don't oftentimes have the answers for it. And you feel like, you know what, I got 24 hours to do 40 hours of work and I'm not going to be able to get this done. And you're just stressed out. There's times that nothing is going your way and just everything is falling apart and you go through depression. Every one of us has fought depressions. If you haven't fought depressions, I need to talk to you after church. I need counseling. It's real. And to ignore it, man, doesn't fix things. We go through things. We go through emotional duress. We go through deaths. We go through heartaches and sorrow and all these things. And then sometimes it just seems like we're burning the candle from both ends. And there's just no sleep. And you know, when you do get to sleep, you wake up because you're stressed. All these things working together and it causes you to forget things. Forget your anniversary. Forget your birthdays. Forget phone numbers. Forget important dates. Forget meetings. Forget assignments. Forget all of these things happen. And sometimes it doesn't even matter what it is in your mind. You're going to have a tendency to forget it. And the enemy knows this. And the enemy knows that locked into that mind of yours is book, chapter, and verse, and scripture after scripture, and all of these things that are there. And so he's got to war against your mind. Not only are you pulling down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against God, not only are you bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, not only are you trying to think upon those things that are pure, lovely, and honest, and of a good report, and all those other things, amen, but you are fighting mental fatigue in all of it. This is just life. Solomon recognizing these things, and he says, look, buddy, you're going to have to get this more than just in your head, because there's going to come days that you're going to be sitting there trying to think of a verse, and you're, well, and it's not just the fact that somebody would ask you and say, you know what, why do you do this, or why do you not do this, or why that, and all those other things and stuff like that. But, you know, that master of deceit that is there fighting against you, when he knows that he's got you good, stressed out, lack of sleep, depression, amen, and some of this is just can be controlled by diet and all those other little things and whatnot and stuff like that. But when he knows that he's got you on the brink, that's when he comes in with those temptations. That's when he comes in with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's when he is going to hammer you. He's not an idiot. He didn't just start this yesterday. Amen. He has already taken evaluation of who you are, what you are, what your strengths are, and what your weaknesses are. And if he knows that you've got it here, but you don't have it here, he knows, but it's just but a few moments and a little bit of time and a little bit of problems and a little bit of worry and such, and he'll have you exactly where he wants you. And then comes flying in, amen, these temptation and these lust and all of these other things that's there. And it's just harder to say no to some things. It's harder to resist some things. It's harder to put your foot down upon some things because your mind isn't thinking correctly. Solomon said, you better have it in your heart. Look at the revelation that Solomon's dad, David, had. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. There was a reason why he hid the word of God in his heart, and he gave us that reason. Now, you think about this. He did not say, thy word have I hid in my head so that I might not sin against God. Because when it's in your head and the devil comes to you, and if you're not going to, you can say, oh no, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But if you don't understand that, knowledge ain't going to do you a whole lot of good. We know some great Bible quizzers. They're not even in the church today. Thank God that there are a bunch of Bible quizzers, former Bible quizzers, that are in the church today. But there's a lot of former Bible quizzers that are not in the church. You know why? Because they never got from here to here. You know, we can stand and we can sit and we can listen to men like Brother Michael Barrier, and we can listen to him preach, and we can listen to Scripture roll off his tongue and stuff like that. He was a Bible quizzer. Somewhere or another, it got from here to here. But there's others that there's been a disconnect. It never got from here to here. It was just in the mind. David didn't say, thy word have I hid in my mind that I might not sin against God. Amen. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. There is a concept that is there that if you will get this in your heart, amen, it will produce the capacity that you would not sin against God. Having it in your head only does not have the same power and the ability to do that. When you're sitting there in your mind and you're trying to decide this or that, A or B, one or two, amen, and the heart is not involved in it, you're in a dangerous predicament. And so Solomon, finally getting the words of his dad, who said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. He's finally getting that later on in life. And now he's trying to transfer that over to Rehoboam. And he says, son, you need to keep, don't forget my laws and keep my commandments in your heart. For length of days, long life, peace they shall add to thee. Let not mercy forsake thee. Praise God. I'm trying to find where I'm at in my notes, all right? Amen. And so here it was, because when it's in your mind, it's easy to forget. But I want you to understand that it was not very easy to forget for all of the Jews. It wasn't. Because every time they would walk out the door, there posted on the door, amen, was the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was right there. And they would go about their business, and not only would they have it posted on their doors, Now, this is crazy, but this is what happened. Amen. They had it bound to their forehead as well. They had these little things called phylacteries, and they would have it put on their head. And so they didn't have a baseball cap on their head. They had this little pennant, this little case on their head. So you know what? When I walk up to Brother Hunter and I see his little thing put on his head, I'm reminded. And when he sees mine, he's reminded. And when I see Brother Daniel, he sees mine, I see his, we're reminded. And it's not easy to forget. And then when I'm going on my way home and I'm getting ready to walk in the door, I'm reminded. And so it's asking me questions, even though it's on the doorpost there. It's asking me questions. Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? What business are you conducting? Be mindful of your conduct. Guard your conversation. Watch out for your character. Listen to your conscience. And when you come home, it calls you back into accountability. Where have you been? Who have you been with? What have you been doing? Examine yourselves. You're not going to get away from God. That's what all of that was about. And so it wasn't easy for the Jew to forget about the Word of God. We don't like to admit it, but it's a lot easier for us to forget it than it was for them to forget it. But we think to ourselves, oh, I'll never forget the Word of God. Yeah. There's some things you just can't erase from your mind. You know, and that's the sad, sad story of the backslider that's out there trying to live a life of fun while in his mind all of these things are coming back and flipping back through the years. But it's not just because he's going down memory lane. It's because of this thing called the soul that's hooked up in the spirit and the heart of that individual that's constantly tapping. Before they left God, they never got it from here to here. But now that they're out there, that old soul of the man is sitting here tapping him on the shoulder in the wee hours of the morning, late hours of the night, throughout the day. Hey, calling to memory some of those things that are there. Let me just talk to you for just a moment and I'm done. Amen. It is in the heart, honestly, where decisions are made. Decisions are made. Let me explain it to you. You're sitting there minding your own business and you don't really realize it, but you're caught up in la-la land. You're daydreaming. You're just thinking about things. And then all of a sudden you stop and you shake your head and you're like, where did that thought come from? Came from your heart. That's where it comes from. Yes, I don't have time to get into it. That would keep me long-winded. But the Bible says that from the heart are born murders, thefts, idolatries, fornications. All from the heart are born those things. By the time it makes it to your mind, it's already been contemplated down here. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Not from your mind, from your heart are the issues of life. The Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Amen. The Bible also said, he that trusteth in his own heart. Have you heard that before? Oh, I'm just going to trust my heart. I'm just going to go with my heart. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You say, well, you just told us that we need to keep our heart, that we need to pay attention to our heart and not our mind. They work hand in hand together. Because it's the mind that's connecting down to the heart and filing things down in the filing cabinet of the heart to keep the heart pure and to keep it right. But at times it's going to come from here and it comes back up here. This better have enough in it to stop some things, because there's some decisions that are made in the heart. It is the heart that is the seat of emotion, not the mind. We make decisions by our emotions oftentimes. So let me explain it like this. The mind knows scriptures. The heart loves scripture. The mind can quote truth. The heart can live truth. The mind has information. The heart has transformation. The mind is weak in temptation, but the heart is strong in conviction. There's your difference right there. Let's stand here tonight. Somewhere or another, you've got to make sure that the Word of God gets from the mind, from the head, down deep into the heart. Because David said, if it can get there, then it can be that I would not sin against God. That's my only hope. And I know that the heart is deceitful above all things. And I know that from the heart is born all kinds of wicked things. And I know that if I trust my heart, that I am a fool. But friend, my heart, the capacity and the seat of emotion and the soul and the spirit connected and involved in there. Amen. I have got to do my best. You understand that it is my responsibility to keep my heart with all diligence. I need to protect my mind. I need to have the helmet of salvation upon to protect my mind. But I've got to have the shield of faith, and I've got to have the breastplate of righteousness to cover and to protect my heart and other things that are there. But they work hand in hand together, and I've got to make sure that I'm feeding my mind correct things that can be filed down in my heart so that my heart has a strong governing power that when things begin to filter in and get through the eyes, because, oh, Jesus, the eye is the entrance to the heart. The Bible says that the eye is the window of the heart. Amen. That's why Job and David would make a covenant with their eyes and would say, I set no evil thing before my eye because it affects my heart. I believe it's the book of Lamentations says, thine eye affects your heart. Amen. You've got to be careful the things that you look upon, that you ingest through the eyes, because it's affecting your heart. And from the heart is born all of these wicked and these vile things. And I've got to keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. But it's my responsibility. Amen. And even as Solomon would tell Rehoboam, don't forget the law and keep his commandments in your heart. That's the quest. That's the quest. I can't do as I please. I can't do as I want to do. Because I'm talking about law and commandments. This morning we preached on truth. What is truth? We talked about it. I got to make sure that the head, the heart connected so that I can be right. Amen? Praise God. I don't even really know how to end this here tonight, but maybe you would want to come, amen, to an altar for a few minutes of time. Amen, because there's something that's crossed up.